And we're holding on Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, about 15 lines or so from the bottom. Line begins with Rishus Rabim. We learned in the Mishnah that you have the four Ovis Nezikin, and one of them was Mav'er. The last two were Mav'er, which now we're going to work on defining, and Hever. Hever means fire. Mav'er, that's what we have to work out now, what it means. So my mother, Rav Oma Mave Za'odam. Rav says that Mave refers to damages caused by a person. And why he uses the word Mave for it, where we see the word Mave, it means a person, we're gonna explain in a second. Or Shmuel Oma Mave Zuhashem. Shmuel says Mave refers to damages by an animal eating with its teeth. Now we said before, we discussed Shein before, we discussed that type of hezek. We didn't really have, we had in the Mishnah Shur, Bur, Mave, and Hever. We said that Shur included a few different kinds of Hezek. So now we're saying that Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah is singling out Shein when the animal eats and calling it a separate Avnezikin. Why? We'll see soon in the Gemara. So first, where do they get it from linguistically? Rav Amar Mave Za'odam Dichtiv. You have a Pasuk in Yeshaya. The previous Pasuk says that Eli Kodemi say Masa Duma, he starts by saying a Nevuah about Duma, which is the name, among other things, of the Malach of Edom. Eli Kodemi Seir, the Jewish people called to me, to Hashem, from Seir, from being ruled over by Edom. And they ask, what's with the night? Shoma Mami Lyle, Shoma Mami Lyle, Shoma Mami Lyle, watchman, Hashem, what's with the night of Golos? How long are we going to be in this night of Golos? And the post continues, Omar Shomer, the watchman, which is Hashem, answers, also Voiker, morning is coming, Geula for the Tzadikim, Vegan Loila, also night, darkness for the Rishayim, Imtiv Oyun Boyu, if you will seek, then seek and do tshuva. In other words, if you do tshuva, then the geula can come in any moment. So we see that the word imtiv oyun boyu is associated with people. Like this, we're saying, how long are we going to be in golus edom? And so we see that the word imtiv oyun boyu means if you seek and you do tshuva. So we see that mava means a person. Which in that case, then, various Rishonim and Achronim talk about. So why, according to that, would the Mishnah be using such an unusual word as Mave just based on that posit? So there's a lot of different explanations, among them that Odom would include even an Eved and a Shifcha, and we're going to say soon in the Gemara that an Eved and a Shifcha are different. If your Eved or Shifcha cause damage, then you're not chayiv for it, for reasons that we're going to discuss soon. So therefore it couldn't have used the word Adam. There's an explanation because in the Pasuk itself, when it first starts talking about Nizke Adam, it includes, for example, where a person steals. The word Mave, we're saying, means the seeker, the one who seeks and looks for things. So that would refer then to, to a thief who goes and searches around and looks for things. And there's a number of other drushdik type of answers. There's an idea that the Tanna didn't want to say the word Odom in connection with Mazik. You can't say a person is a Mazik. Odom word Loilam, fine, but still to use the word Odom as one of the obvious Nezikin is not really right. So therefore we wanted to choose a different term. And then there's a Musadik avort in it that says, based on this pasuk, a person is always seeking. An animal doesn't seek. An animal needs its needs, its food, its shelter, or whatever, and then that's it. Once it has that, it's satisfied. A person is never satisfied. A person is always looking for something higher.
Mahalik.
Now, mahalik. Now, if that's directed in the right way, then the person does. He becomes higher and higher in avodah and coming close to Hashem. If he misuses it, then he ends up looking for things that he shouldn't. Namely, he ends up causing damage. So therefore, the word mave is used for a person, according to that. Anyway, that's Rav. Shmuel am a mave zehashen. Shmuel says mave means the teeth of animals that damage. Also, you have a pasuk dichtiv eich nech pasu eichav nivu matzpunav. How is it that Esav has been searched out? His hidden things have been nivu. So my mashma. So where do we see that has anything to do with teeth? Then the answer is Kedim Targum Rabbi Yosef. As Rabbi Yosef translated the pasuk, this is part of Targum Yonason, who Targum Yonason translated the entire Nevi'im. Tosfos points out Rabbi Yosef was an expert in it, and therefore throughout Shas, these Targumim are always attributed to Rabbi Yosef, even though he's not the one who composed the Targum. Tosfos also mentions a possibility that some people explain, because Rabbi Yosef was blind, therefore he couldn't learn Torah Shebichsav, because you can't learn Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh, and therefore he had to focus on Torah Baal Peh, including Targum. However, Tosfos says that no, the fact is, it's an example of Eis Lasis Lashem. If his entire life he's not going to be able to learn Torah Shebichsav because of his blindness, then he would be mutter to do that. There's no, you're not going to say he's going to be usher.
Later,
we don't know when it was, but whatever it was, whenever it was, from then on, it was for the end of his, it was till the end of his life. So therefore, Tosfos says not that he had to focus on Torah Shebaal Peh, but that he chose to kind of, he specialized in knowing the Targum. Anyway, so the Targum translates the pasuk. How is it that Esav has been searched out? The context of the psukim is talking about that Esav's allies. That Esav's allies turned on him and fought against him. His hidden things have been uncovered. So therefore, mava then would refer to the teeth of animals, which sometimes are covered and sometimes are uncovered. The animal uncovers them in order to eat.
When the Esav turned, the 250 men turned on him?
No, not the 200. That was 400 men. But no, in Evadia, this is from the Nevuah of Evadia, which is that Torah parashas Vayishlach. At some point during the history of Edom, they thought that they were going to be strong and powerful. And Hashem says, maybe something that happened in the past, maybe it's to a certain extent something that's going to happen in the future. Whatever it is, the point is that the Navi is saying, look at this, you Esav, you thought you're so smart, you thought you have your allies, you thought you're impregnable, and now it turns out that you've been plundered and destroyed just like everybody else. And he goes on to say that this is a punishment for the way you treated the Jewish people. Anyway, the point is that, so the word nivu means to be uncovered, like the way the teeth of an animal are uncovered when it's eating. Marsha points out, both of these psukim then are referring to Esav. The first pasuk, os omar shema osa boiker imtu v'oyun boyu, is talking about Golus Edom. And the second one is talking about what's going to happen with Edom themselves. And he explains, as we talked about a couple of days ago at the beginning of the Masechta, that he explains the four Avos Nezikin of our Mishnah represent the four different kinds of disasters that can strike the Jewish people, Rachmana Litzlan, as when Hashem needs to punish. And one of them is Cherev, one of them is the sword of Esav, that's represented over here by Mava, and therefore both Psukim over here are in connection with Esav. So the Gemara says, "But Rav, my time like Omer Kishmul." So why doesn't Rav now, given that you have this shirdish bays ayin hay in both of those different psukim? So why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel and say that Mave means shame because of the pasuk Eich Nech Besuesav? And the answer is Amalach, because Rav would tell you Mikatoni Nive. After all, the word in the Mishnah over here is Mave, which is the active form of the verb. Niv'eh would be the passive form. It is uncovered. That would fit with Shmuel's pasuk, Niv'u Matzpunav. His hidden things have been uncovered. And that would refer to the tooth. The tooth doesn't uncover itself. The animal uncovers it. So the word Niv'eh, sure, would work very nicely for the teeth. But Mave'eh, which implies that he uncovers, would have to refer to something else. Therefore, Rav says it can't be the teeth.
It'll be future, right?
Not past versus future. Mava is an active verb. He's causing something to happen. Niva is the thing has happened to him. The teeth don't uncover themselves. On the other hand, a person goes and searches out things. Therefore, Rav figures Mava more likely refers to the person who's the active agent over here. Oh, Shmuel, my time, Allah, I'm a Karab. In turn, why doesn't Shmuel agree with Rav? Amalach, he says, Mikatoni boye. Sure, but in the pasuk that you're quoting, Rav, the expression is into v'oyun boye. So there you have, there the only prefix you have is a tough referring, you have a tough referring to other people, saying that you should seek out and you should do tshuva. But other than that, the word would be boye, which means to seek out, whereas in our Mishnah, it's mave, which is not quite the same thing. A person is boya. Mave would suggest something which is being uncovered. So therefore, that suggests more the teeth. Well, the Gemara says, Mechti, kroy loik mar daiki v'loik mar daiki. Well, when you get down to it, the psukim are not exactly like one or the other. Neither one exactly fits the word mave. So let's get back to the question. Rav my time, I'm a Kishmol. So why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel? Obviously, it's not only based Pesukim, because whatever objection Rav can bring on Shmuel's proof from the pasuk is going to be a question on him himself. And the answer is Tana Shur v'chol mila d'shur, because Rav figures once the Mishnah says Shur, it includes everything within the Shur. Now we said at the beginning, we said on Beis Amud Beis, there are three Ovis Nezikin within a Shur: Peren, Shein, and Regel. You have the animal can gore with its horns, it can eat food with its teeth, and it can trample on things with its feet. When the Mishnah says Shur, it includes all those three things. There's no reason to single out Shein separately as a separate listing in the Mishnah. Therefore, more likely, Mave refers to a person. So then you have a Shur, a Burr, a person, and fire. A burr is a pit, so like a pit in the ground, a hole in the ground.
Why is it a fire?
It's not. We're saying two different things. You have two animate things. Shur, which is an animal that damages in one of three different ways. Burr would be a pit in the ground that an animal falls into it. Mava would be a person who causes damage, for example, by stealing or whatever. And hever would be fire. So Rav said there's no reason to say that Mava would be Shein, which is one of the things within Shur. You already have the word Shur in the Mishnah. It includes all of them. Okay, Shmuel Nami Ha Tonalei Shur. New, so what does Shmuel have to say to that? Amar Rav Yehuda, Tana Shur L'Kaunei or Mava L'Shinei. The answer is, according to Shmuel, the word Shur in our Mishnah means specifically Keren, when the animal gores with its horns, not like Rav is saying that Shur includes that as well as Shein and Regel. Shmuel is going to say Shur of our Mishnah means strictly Keren. And then, Mava L'Shinei, then Mava means Shein. And then as far as Regel, the Gemara is going to explain soon why according to Shmuel, Regel is not listed separately in the Mishnah. So V'Hachikam. So in that case, according to Shmuel, the flow of the Mishnah would go like this. Now, we said in the Mishnah, after it listed the four Ovis Nezikin, it said, Loi Harei Asher Karei Amave, V'Loi Harei Amave Karei Asher. So according to Rav, it means very simply, it means a Shur is not like a person, and a person is not like a Shur. Each one has unique features of its own. If it said only one of them in the Pasuk, you couldn't derive the other one from it, and therefore we need to be said both. According to Shmuel, the flow of the Mishnah would be like this. You can't compare Keren, where after all, there's no Hana, for the animal doesn't get any Hana from goring with its horns. It's not like Shein, where Shein is different in that the animal enjoys the animal. When the animal eats something with its teeth, it benefits from it because it likes the taste, it gets nutrition from it or whatever. Tosfos explains, in other words, when it comes to Keren, in other words, you could argue, therefore, that now if the animal goes and gores with its horns, then there's a certain degree of pshia involved. Because since the animal anyway doesn't get hana from it, it's much easier to prevent the animal from going and goring. On the other hand, Shein, you could argue, look, you know, what could I do? My animal wants to eat. I can't be on top of it 24/7. So it went and ate some of your property. It's less my fault. Then therefore, we're saying that no. If you had Keren, if the Torah had told us that, Keren is not like Shein, in that Shein, you could have thought, since it has Hana, it's harder to watch it. And on the other hand, you could say, on the other hand, when it comes to Shein, the animal doesn't intend to cause damage. When it comes to Keren, it does. So again, therefore, Tosfos teaches out. You could argue the other way around. Keren, the animal, it really wants to go and cause that damage because it intends to cause damage. So you could argue maybe it's harder to watch it and prevent it from doing that. As opposed to Shein, okay, it likes the food, but it's not intending to cause damage, so it's easy enough to divert it to something else. So therefore, so that would be what the Mishnah means, that you can't learn one from the other.
I guess it is an enjoyment from the flare of frustration.
No, because we're not talking about that kind of enjoyment. We're talking about gashmiistic enjoyment. We're not talking. So the Gemara asks, the law of kavachomer, who? Well, in that case, wouldn't it be a kavachomer? With an animal's teeth, it doesn't intend to cause damage, and you're still chayev. How much more so if the animal causes damage with its horns? Surely you should be chayev. So in that case, yes, the Torah could have said Shein, and you would have derived Keren from it. So why do you need, so according to Shmuel, then, why do you need both of them to be said in the pasuk? So in fact, Rashi says the question is also on the first one. You say you could have done the Kal v'Chomer the other way around also. Madach Keren, where it doesn't intend to cause damage, doesn't have Hanah from its damage, and you're still Chayev. How much more so Shein, where it has Hanah from its damage. Rashi also goes to point out that you can't say that what Rav Yehuda is saying the other way around, that Keren is weaker than Shein, and Shein is weaker than Keren, and therefore if you had learned Keren, you couldn't learn Shein from it. No, because the Gemara doesn't do it that way. When the Gemara brings two things and it says that you want to learn one from the other, it always mentions the stronger one first. It always learns the one that you want to learn from. You first it mentions the Chomer, like, and then it mentions the Kal, sort of. So the same way over here then. So so for example, when the Mishnah says, and according to Shmuel now, we're explaining that mave means the animal eating. So now, for example, when the Mishnah continues that both of them have ruach chayim, both of them are living creatures, and they're not like fire, which is not. So therefore, if you had those two, you couldn't learn fire from it. So you see, in other words, what there's so we're always mentioning the one that you're trying to learn from and the one you're trying to learn to. So the same way in our Gemara over here, we're saying that because Keren doesn't have Hana, therefore you could argue it's stronger. In other words, it's more likely to say that you're chayev, because in other words, like Tosfos said, therefore, so it's more careless of you. It's so much easier to prevent the animal from going and doing something which anyway it doesn't get even Hana from, and therefore you couldn't have learned from that Shein, which is more difficult to guard because the animal does want to eat, and the same thing the other way around.
What connection there do we bring that mother means?
We said that mava because eichnech b'suays of nivu matzpuna, because his hidden things have been uncovered, and the same way as the teeth are sometimes uncovered. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the question is though, but why? Given that Shein is in kavanosel lahazik, it's not intending to damage, and still you chayev for your animal eating. How much more so when it comes to keren that kavanosel lahazik, where the animal intends to cause damage? How much more so you should say that you chayev if you didn't watch the animal and prevent it from doing that? And the answer is, we still need to be told each one. Because otherwise you would think to compare to the case where a slave or a maidservant does hezek. Now, what happens? The fact is, if your Eved or Oma choose to cause a hezek, you, the owner of that Eved or Oma, are potter. Now, where do we get that from? Rashi says later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of one person injuring another in the eighth parak, we have an expression over there that says that an Eved or an Isha don't tangle with them, because if you injure them, you're going to be chayev, but if they injure you, they're going to be potter, because neither an Eved or an Isha has assets of their own to pay with. So therefore, so in effect, they're going to get away with it.
But the hands of the Balabas,
No, but that's, we're going to explain why in a second. But Tosfos anyway disagrees with that explanation of Rashi. Tosfos says we're not referring to that Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Rather, we're referring to a Mishnah in Masechta Yodayim, which the Gemara is going to quote from in a second, where there it specifically mentions Eved Va'oma. The fact is, even though they intend to cause damage, you, the owner of potter, so you could have argued by Keren, it's the same thing, that maybe you should be potter, even though it intends to cause damage, and therefore you can't, therefore you would have thought not to make that Kal v'Chomer, and therefore you need to be told Keren explicitly. We're going to explain now. So Omer of Ashi otu Eved va'Oma lav timer Rabba Isbahu. However, Rav Ashi says that's not really a good comparison. So what are you telling me? Because an Eved and Omer, you're potter, therefore you would have thought Keren, you're potter as well. No, there's a very good reason why by Eved and Omer you're potter. Based on a Mishnah and Yodayim. The Mishnah actually tells us over there, you have a series of Mishnayos where the Tzedukim are arguing with the Prushim, with the Chachamim. The first one of them has to do with a din involving Tumas Yadayim, which is why it's brought in that Masechta, and then from there it digresses to talk about several other things where the Tzedukim were arguing the Halacha should be a certain way, and the Chachamim are showing them they don't know what they're talking about. So one of them is that one of the Tzedukim says, you know what, it's not right. If you're Chayev for your... if you're chayev for your sure damaging, shouldn't you also be chayev for your evident omer damaging? And the Chachamim answer back, there's a difference, which Rav Ashi is going to quote over here. Shema yakditenu rabbi, because after all, an evident and omer have das. Shema yakditenu rabbi, what might happen is the master might provoke the evident omer, might get them angry for some reason. Then the evident omer are going to go set somebody's hate, somebody's stack of grain on fire. And the result is the master every day is going to owe somebody 100 mana. So when it comes to somebody who has das and evidur and omer, you can't make the master responsible for what they do, because since they have das of their own, what they're doing is they may be doing things deliberately in order to get back at their master. So therefore, you have to make them liable. So all it means is right now they don't have any assets to pay, but eventually, when they have assets, they're going to have to pay. So if they ever get freed or whatever, no reason to think that should be anything like that by a shur. So Rav Ashi is saying, in other words, that if you're telling me that, you want to argue because we find those cases of Kavanos Elahazik and your potter, therefore it should be the same thing with Karen, and therefore you need to be told Karen explicitly, doesn't really work. An animal doesn't have das, and Ebenor and Amma does. Now, so Tosfos points out, the fact is that the Gemara already knew that Mishnah before Rav Ashi even points it out. So what was the Gemara thinking to even compare to say that that Keren should be in the same category? So fine, Tosfos says that still the question was, the fact is, an Eved or an Oma, your potter, whether Kavanos and Lahazik or not, and if the Eved or the Oma does damage unwittingly, you're also potter, even though you don't have that reason of Shemayak Yitenu Rabbi. So therefore, why is that? Because you have no way of knowing. They may claim that it was an accident, and really they're doing it on purpose. So therefore, you could argue that maybe Keren you would have thought is potter as well. And Rav Ashi says no. The fact is, given that an Eved or an Oma have das, then therefore you're always going to have to potter them. You can't necessarily say that by Keren. Anyway, so Ela Porich Hochi. Rather, we could ask like this. You could figure lawyer. So the Mishnah would be saying as follows: lawyer iya keren she kavanos elahazik ki iya shein she in kavanos elahazik. You can't compare keren where the animal intends to cause damage. You can't compare it to shein where it doesn't intend to cause damage. And therefore, in other words, if it said keren, you couldn't derive shein from it. The lawyer iya shein she ish hanol lazekoi ki iya keren she in hanol lazekoi. And on the other hand, Shane, where you have a Hana, is not like Keren, which does not have Hana. And therefore, you could argue that in that sense, maybe it's easier to prevent the animal from doing Shane than it is Keren. And therefore, you can't learn one from the other. Okay, so Shmuel can explain the Mishnah that way. So therefore, Shmuel, in short, can explain that when we say in the Mishnah, Loi Harei Asher, Karei Amavet, Loi Harei Amavet, Karei Asher, both of them are talking about damages within the Shur itself. The word shur in the Mishnah referring to Keren, the word mava referring to eating with its teeth, and we're still saying that each of them has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. So if it said Keren, you couldn't learn Shane, and if it said Shane, you couldn't learn Keren. Okay, the question then becomes, the regal mai. So what happened with regal? The fact is there is also regal, as we talked about yesterday, where an animal tramples or steps on things and then causes damage. So mai, what's happening with that? Shairei. Did the Mishnah just leave it out? Why would the Mishnah do that? Mela, according to Rav, that mava means a person and shur means all the various kinds of things within shur, then fine, regal is included in the word shur. But according to Shmuel, that you have shur means strictly the horns. And mava means strictly the teeth. Where's regal? And the answer is shehizik chov hamazik lasuya regal. The answer is later on in the Mishnah, it says when one of your possessions causes damage, then you the mazik are required to pay. So lasuya regal, that comes to include also regal, so it didn't need to be spelled out explicitly in the Mishnah. Mephoshim point out that actually there are two places in Or Mishnayos where it uses that expression, Chizik HaMazik. One is in Or Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, and another one is in the next Mishnah on Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is referring to that second one, because the first one, it's not something extra in the Mishnah, there the Mishnah has to tell us. There our Mishnah is just telling us, once it establishes that each of the four Ovos Nezikin has something unique about it, and therefore you can't learn one from the other. So the Mishnah is mentioning what they do all have in common, one of them being that Chehizat Chava Mazik. So there's no extra words over there. You need that, Lagufa. You need to be so. You need that to tell us that each of the four Ovos Nezikin mentions in our Mishnah all have this in common that you all have to pay. On the other hand, in the next Mishnah, when it repeats that expression, Kehizat Chav HaMazik, that you could say is extra. We already know that from the first Mishnah. Therefore, we can say that that extra wording is coming to teach us about a type of Ovos Nezikin, which has not been mentioned until now, namely, according to Shmuel, that would be regular. Okay, so the question is, the listening of the Hedya. Fine. Still, why does the Mishnah have to use a roundabout expression like that? Let it say regal straight out, according to Shmuel. So Elo Omar Rabba, Tona Shur L'Ragla Yomava L'Shinai. Rather, Rabba says, no, we're going to have to understand our Mishnah differently, according to Shmuel. We're going to have to say Shur versus Mave in our Mishnah. Shur does not refer to Keren, as we said till now. Rather, it refers to regal. The word shur in our Mishnah, when it says shur, and when it says shur, bur, mava, and hever, the word shur is going to refer to damages of regal, where the animal steps on something and breaks it. Mava will mean the teeth, and keren, it's leaving out for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. So in that, umava l'shinai, and then mava, according to Shmuel, is going to be the teeth. V'hochi kamar, in which case then, we have to understand the flow of the Mishnah a little differently. Before, when we said that Shur means Keren, we were pointing out that Keren and Shane, each one has a unique feature. We said Keren doesn't have Hana, Shane does. On the other hand, Keren intends to cause damage and Shane not. Now let's work out a similar thing as far as Regal and Shane respectively. The Mishnah then means like this. Loira ia Regal shehezeka matsui. What we find as far as regal, where it's a very common kind of hezek, is not yashen she'en hazeka matsui, is not like shane, which is not as common. So in other words, again, you could say, if the Torah had only told us regal, then you would say, you know what, sure, a person is chayiv in regal. It happens all the time. Anytime an animal walks someplace, it's bound to damage things, and therefore you're responsible to make sure that doesn't happen. Shane, you could argue, look, it was kind of an onus. I don't know. I didn't know that particularly this time my animal was hungry. So therefore you'd think he's potter, and we have to be told that not. On the other hand, Shane, where there's Hana, is not like Regal, where there's not. So again, you could argue if the Torah had only said Shane, then you would say, sure, you're Machayiv and B'Shane. Your animal actually got Hana out of it. So by all means, you have to pay. If nothing else, you gain the fact that you don't have to feed your animal next time. Regal, you're not gaining anything from it. The animal didn't gain anything from it. Maybe you should be potter, and therefore Regal needs to be told separately in the Pasuk. Okay, so the question is, Keren Mai Shire. So what happens to Keren? Did the Mishnah forget to include it? And the answer is, like we said before, Kshehizat Chava Mazik Masuri Keren. Like we said, the next Mishnah on Tesamud Beis, when it repeats the expression, Kshehizat Chava Mazik, comes to include that. Okay, the question is, like we said before, the listening of the Hedya. Fine, so why doesn't the Mishnah list it explicitly? According to Shmuel, why doesn't the Mishnah list Keren and Shane and Regal explicitly? You're telling me that Shur and Mava of our Mishnah refer to Regal and Shane. So why are we leaving out Keren and only implying it in the words Kehizat Chav HaMazik? Why not list it explicitly in the Mishnah? And the answer is b'mu'adin mitchilasin kamayri b'tamin lo asayf mu'adin like kamayri. Because you could say all the ones in our Mishnah have this in common. All of them are mu'ad to begin with. There's no difference between tam and mu'ad with any of the ones mentioned in our Mishnah. Shane, you don't say the first three times the animal, or according to Shmuel, shur means regal. Now we're saying we don't say the first three times the animal steps on something and breaks it. It's a tam, and then it becomes a muad. No, the regal is muad mitchilasay. To begin with, an animal is prone to do that kind of thing, to walk and accidentally step on things and break them. To begin with, an animal is prone to go and eat things. To begin with, a fire is prone to go and cause damage, and the same thing with bird. On the other hand, the taminal or safe muad like kamayri. So we could say our Mishnah is not listing things that are first tam and later muad, which is the case with Keren. So you could say Keren is a different category. Of course, the Tana of our Mishnah knows there is an av nezikin of Keren. However, he's not mentioning it explicitly in our Mishnah because he wants to focus only on the ones that are muad mitchilasa. And Keren is not like that. So therefore, he leaves out Keren, and he's implying it later on with the expression on Tesumah Beis of Shehizah Kovamaz.
Keren, it goes with
it. Is that not? Keren starts out as Tam and later becomes more. The first three times, the animal gores, it's a Tam. Only if it keeps on doing it, then it becomes a Mord.
The Mishnah wants
to only focus on ones that are Mord to begin with, you could say. So that would explain the Mishnah according to Shmuel. Okay. So all of that covers now. So now we've covered why it is that that we got into this discussion by saying, why doesn't Rav agree with Shmuel? We said Rav doesn't want to say that shur refers to only one type of avos nezikin. In a shur, he wants to say the word shur, which is a generic word that means an ox, includes all the different avos nezikin in an ox. Therefore, according to him, the word shur of our Mishnah has to include keren and shein and regel, and therefore, according to him, mava has to be a person. So now we fanned for it, according to Shmuel, why not? We said that according to Shmuel, ultimately, when he came out, that Shmuel will say that the only, that our Mishnah is mentioning only Regel and Shane and leaving out Keren and implying it in the next Mishnah.
Because
we said that we're focusing only on more than Mitchilos. But fine. But that at least explains why Rav says that Mava has to be a person. So we started by saying because Rav has a posuk. But we said the posuk itself is not so definitively according to Rav, because after all, Rav's posuk that says that Mava is a person into Voyun Boyu, then you should have to say the expression in our Mishnah should be Boya. So instead it's Mava, which suggests something somewhat different. So therefore we said Rav has the posuk as a support for the idea that Mava can mean a person. But what's the underlying svara that he says that it should is because he says shur has to include everything within a shur. So therefore, so Mava can't mean the tooth because it's already included in the shur. Therefore, we have to find something else that Mava means. Okay. Next, so Shmuel, my time like Omakarab. Next, why doesn't Shmuel agree with a Rab and say that Mava is a person? Why does he insist on saying that Mava is one of the ones within an animal, namely the tooth, and therefore to have to say that shur refers to only one of them? Why does he say like Rab that shur means all three of them and Mava means a person? So the answer is, Amalach, Shmuel can answer you. Isak v'daydach Adam, if you're going to tell me that Mava of On Mishnah means a person, Hokatoni Sefer, then we have the Sefer of On Mishnah, which is later on in our Perek, where it mentions Shur HaMord, V'Shur HaMazik, V'Shus HaNezik, V'Ho Adam. You have, it mentions the various things. You have a Shur, which is Mord, which is already known to Gur. You have the case of a shur that causes damage in the Rishus HaNizik. It goes into somebody else's property and gores over there. Now, there we have, in other words, the Mishnah there is listing things that are muad to begin with. Namely, or not really to begin with, but things with the various categories of muad. Meaning like this. If an animal goes over in Rishus HaRabim and gores another animal, then we say the first three times it's tam, and only after the fourth time, only after the guy's been wounded and based and repeatedly, does the animal become a mord. On the other hand, so we have, first of all, shur mord. When the animal is already mord, from then on, any goring that it does is going to be considered, it's going to be mord, and the owner is going to pay nezik shalim. Second of all, you have the shur hamazik, the shur hanizik. You also have when the shur goes into the nizik's property and causes damage over there. Now we're going to have, in the second perek, we're going to have at the end of our perek, we're going to have Reb Tarfin, who says that in that case, the animal is automatically moored. He says the whole concept of tam versus moored, as far as an ox goring, is only when it's in Rishus HaRabim, or a place that's not specifically the Rishus of the nizik. But he says if a shur walks into the Rishus of a nizik and gores another animal, automatically it's considered moored. Well then, in that case, so that Mishnah mentions that v'ha adam, and then it mentions a person because adam mord loylam. So therefore, in other words, so Shmuel will say, look, later on in the parak, you mention adam. So there's no reason to single out adam in our Mishnah. Therefore, mave in our Mishnah must mean something else. The question is, v'lisni b'reisha, fine. Even according to Shmuel, why doesn't our Mishnah mention adam to begin with? Why does it leave it only for later in the parak? And the answer is because you can say Beniske Mamon Kamayri Beniske Gufay Le Kamayri. Because you could say the Mishnah wants to focus in our Mishnah only on things where a person's property causes damage, not where he himself causes damage. That's a different category, and therefore, of course, it is an Av Nizikin. But the Mishnah is going to leave it for later in the Perek. Doesn't need to discuss it right now. Okay. So Rav Nami Hokatoni Adam Besefer. So you have to ask, Rav also knows that it says Adam later on in our Perek. So why does he say that Adam is also hinted at in our Mishnah? And the answer is Amalach Rabba, who the Mechshav Ibahadimuadin, who the Asa. Because that Mishnah is coming to tell us that you should know a person is included in the category of Muadin. The Mishnah is mentioning over there, you have five cases of Muad. Among them is a person. So we need to be told that you were summarizing, in other words, we're saying that there are various categories of Muad, one of them being a person. So Shmuel will say there's not really a chiddush of that. Now, later on in the perek, when we talk about that list of five muadim, then fine, there's a chiddush that shein is muad to eat things that's appropriate for the animal to eat. Regal is muad to break things that it's going to step on or whatever, as opposed to, for example, when it kicks them, let's say, which we learned the other day is keren. But a person, Shmuel is going to say, there's not really a chiddush in it. If we already say adam in our Mishnah, there's no reason to also mention it later on. Whereas Rav is going to say that it's doing that in order to summarize altogether. Umay loy harei. So according to that, then what's that loy harei of our Mishnah, where we say that shur is not like mave and mave is not like shur? So you would say like this, hachikama, loy re'i ashur shem shalom asakofer. You can't compare shur, where if a shur kills a person, then the owner of the shur is paying a kofer, is paying a monetary penalty, a monetary compensation to the family of the victim. We're going to discuss later on in the Masechta what the nature of that kofer is exactly. Anyway, you can't compare it. Kari Adam Shane Mashalam is a kofer. You can't compare that to a person who does not pay kofer. So in other words, again, if one person kills another, he's not paying kofer. He's getting executed, he's going to Adam Mikmot or whatever it is exactly. In fact, Tosfos asked the question, well, yeah, he's not paying a kofer. Kom lebe d'rabamine. That's not a pula on a person. He's getting executed by Basin. So therefore, yeah, he's not paying. So Tosfos says no, because Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, that the fact is, even if he kills somebody b'shogeg, he's not getting Mrs. Basin, but he's not paying a kofer either. Then Tosfos says that no, because the whole point that he doesn't pay a kofer is it has really nothing to do with nothing really to do with kom lebe d'rabamine. The reason he's not paying a kofer is based on other considerations. So therefore, you could argue, in other words, if the Torah told us only that a person is chayev for is sure killing a person, you would say, you know what, the Torah is so machmir and makes him have to pay a kofer. On the other hand, a person who kills somebody else is not chayev a kofer. So therefore, you could argue by that logic, you could say, therefore, a nezek caused by a person is less serious than a nezek caused by a shur. And maybe, therefore, you should be more potter for it. And therefore the pasuk has to tell us that not. And then on the other hand, when one person injures another, then he has to pay not only nezek, he has to pay also tsar and ripui and so forth, as we're going to learn later on in this sector, as opposed to a shur, which does not. If a shur injures a person, you never pay, the owner of the shur only pays nezek. The concept of ripui and tsar and so forth does not apply to damage by a shur, as we're going to work out later in the sector. So they, forget about tam or mu'ad. Even if the animal is moored, if a shur kills somebody, that's one thing. But if a shur injures a person, the owner of the shur is paying only nezek, not any of the other things. He's not paying tsar, ripoy, etc. Those are only when a person injures another person. So you have a unique feature as far as a person that you don't have by a shur, and you have a unique feature by a shur, namely kofer, that you don't have by a person. So therefore, the Mishnah would be continuing. What do both a shur and a person who injure have in common? That they both regularly cause damage. Well, the Gemara says, does a shur regularly cause damage? And the answer is, if the shur does more, then it regularly causes damage. It's already got a tendency to do that. So the Gemara asked, Muad Dauke Lahazik, even a Muad, fine, it's gored three times. Does that mean on an ongoing basis it's going to keep on doing that? And the answer is, yeah, you could say once the animal is moored, then yeah, it's usual for it to continue doing the same thing over and over. Okay, what about Odom? What about Odom Dauke Lahazik? You're telling me, according to Rav, that Mava of On Mishnah means a person regularly causes damage? And the answer is, B'yoshin, yes, if a person is sleeping and he accidentally stretches out or whatever and breaks things nearby, then yeah, that can be considered Dauke. Still, you might ask Yoshin Dauke Lahazik, is it really that common that a person causes damage when he's asleep? And the answer is, yeah, given to Kayif or Poshit Urchehu. And when a person is sleeping, he curls up and then he stretches out. So it's a normal thing, therefore, that he will cause damage even without realizing it. And since Adam Mord Lo'olam, then therefore he's going to be chayiv for the nizakim. Here Tosfos brings in what we mentioned the other day, that if somebody put kalim near him while he was asleep, then he'll be potter, because then it's a complete oiness. But yeah. Okay. So fine. What about, though, according to Rav, the Mishnah continues with Shmiras and Alecha, you're obligated to guard them. What do you mean, Adam Shmiras Gufa Yolam? Is a person obligated to watch his own body? Or what do you mean, Shmiras and Alecha? What do you mean, that you are obligated to watch the something else? In the case, if Mava means a person, then a person is obligated to watch himself. You can't say you're obligated to watch them. There's no them. It's you yourself. So then the wording of the Mishnah wouldn't fit. So the Gemara answers back, really time meich, new, and according to your svara that you're asking the question, what about, consider, hodatani kauna? What about a braisa that kauna taught? Kauna was one of the uli amuroyim. He was a Talmud. We find he was a chaver of Rav and Shmuel. He's mentioned in a few places in Shas. He put together a collection of brises on Nizikin, and it's called in a few places in the Gemara Nizikin de Beit Kauna. So he taught a brisa that supplements our Mishnah, where he says Abba Obis Nizikin v'Odom Echaman. He spells out explicitly that Adam is one of the four Obis Nizikin. So you could ask, Adam Shmiras Gufay Olavu, what does that mean? Again, how could you say that a person is responsible for watching his own body? The Lashon doesn't really fit. The Lashon of the Mishnah and of the Braisa suggests that you have something else, a possession of yours, which you're responsible to make sure that that you guard. But you can't really say that about a person's own guf. So Ella kid omelet of Abohu Latana Tony Adam Shmiras Gufay Olav, the same way as Rav Abohu told the Tanner who was teaching Kauna's Braisa that yes, you need to add the word when we say v'odem echad mehen, odem shmiras gufay olav, that it means that the same way as a person is responsible for guarding his shur and his bur and so forth, the same way he's responsible for guarding his own body and preventing it from doing damage. Hachanami, the same thing in our Mishnah, Tani, odem shmiras gufay olav, you can add that wording to the Mishnah. Not that you're adding to the Mishnah, but in other words, you're saying when the Mishnah says mava, and it says shmiras in alecha, it means each one in accordance with the appropriate thing of shmira for that kind of thing. With an ox, it means to put a fence in front of it so it can't go out. In the case of a bow, it means to cover it, and so forth. And in the case of you, it means that you are obligated to keep your hands and feet where they're supposed to be, so you don't cause damage. Okay. The Gemara says maskiflor of mori. So now Rav Mori has a question. What did we say so far? According to Rav, mava means a person. According to Shmuel, mava means the teeth of an animal. Either way, we said each of them has a posuk, but each one, the posuk is not really so definitive, such a definitive proof for their opinion. And either way, we had a bit of a doichik to understand the flow of our Mishnah that says that there's a contrast between shur and mava and so forth. So master for Rav Mori. So Rav Mori says, how about here's another possibility of what mava could mean. Maybe the word mava of our Mishnah refers to damages from water. So what does that mean? Rashi says, for example, you could have a case where a person spills water in Rosh Hashanah and somebody else comes and slips in that, and then and his clothes get dirty. Maybe that's considered an av. Maybe that's considered an av of its own. Now, to be sure, a person is chayav for such a thing, but that's considered a tolda of bur. So Rav Mori is arguing maybe our Mishnah, when it says Mava, is implying that that's considered an av of its own. Now, Tosfos points out, first of all, in that case, where would you have a posik in Parshas Mishpatim that refers to that? And the answer is because since we have the expression v'shilach es be'iron, so we talked about previously that v'shilach refers to the animal going and trampling on things, as we said, Meshalche regal asher v'achamer. But nevertheless, the word v'shilach we also find in the pasuk in connection with water, v'sheleach mayim al pnei chutzis. So therefore, you'd have a basis for that, for saying that. Furthermore, Tosfos says that we have to talk about what exactly kind of damage with water are we talking about. Are we talking about, for example, that a person opened up a dam or something that was holding back water and it caused somebody else to get flooded? That would be considered koichai. That's the person's direct koyach. So that would be considered under the nezikin of a person. if it was koyach sheni, if it was that the water itself was too far away to reach it, but eventually the water kept on flowing, and then it finally caused damage, such a thing would be called groma benizikin, and the person would actually be potter for that. So what is the scenario we're talking about over here? So Tosfos says, first of all, you could be talking about koyach sheni, and Ramari's argument is maybe that would be considered a separate av nezikin by itself. Maybe he would be chayev. Or we can be talking about, like Rashi says, we're talking about that he poured water out on the street and somebody came and slipped in it. We're going to learn later that that's part of bur. Tosfa says, like this, a bur, to begin with, you had no right to dig a bur in a shasarab. On the other hand, here, you have cases, which we're going to learn later on, that you have cases where a person is allowed to pour out his water into the Shasarabim, for example, during the wintertime, the streets are anyway muddy, so you need to clean out your gutters or whatever, you're allowed to pour the water into the Shasarabim. Nevertheless, the halacha is, if somebody then goes and slips on it, you're still chayim. You had reshus to put it over there, but you didn't have reshus to cause a hezek. So now the Mori is arguing in that case, then so it's different than a burr, where a burr you didn't have the right to make in the first place. Here you have the right to cause the hezek. You're still just responsible for what happens as a result of it. Maybe it should be considered a separate av of its own. And where would we get that mava refers to water? Kedichtiv, as you have a posik in Yeshaya, kikdoyach eish hamosim, just like a fire burns and just like a fire melts things that are meltable, for example, wax or whatever, mayim tiva eish. And just as water makes the fire bubble, because when you put a little bit of water on a fire, then it bubbles. The point is, the pasuk continues. The same way, Hashem, you make known your name to your enemies. You punish them and you destroy them and you burn them up. The way that fire melts wax, or the way that fire makes water bubble and evaporate. So therefore, we see the word tiva is used in connection with fire. So maybe it is used in connection with water, rather. So maybe, therefore, mava of our Mishnah means water. The question is, miksiv mayim nivu. The fact is, the Mishnah doesn't say the water is nivu. The expression in the pasuk is mayim tiv'e eish. Tiv'e is loshen yochid. Mayim is loshen rabim. If the word tiv'e was referring to the water, then it would have to say nivu or something like that, which would be in a plural. So it would mean then that the water causes the fire to bubble. But instead, it's the other way around. Tiva eish tiv. It says she, meaning the fire, which is a singular, causes it to bubble. So therefore, it means the other way around. The fire evaporates and makes the water bubble. So therefore, so mava can't refer to the water, because then the loshen of the pasuk will be fit. The words mayim tiva eish suggest that we're talking about the active thing as the fire and the water is the recipient of it. The ema mava zeh eish. Fine. So say maybe that mava then refers to fire based on that pasuk. And the answer dechikus tiva beish udiksev, because after all we just established that tiva refers to the fire. So the answer is Yehochin Mai Hamava VaHever. Well, in that case, then the fact is, our Mishnah mentions Hever, which is fire, separately. So obviously, Mava and Hever are two different things. So Hever can't mean fire. Now, what is the Gemara thinking by that? What is Reb Zvid thinking? He knows very well that it says in the Mishnah Hever. So the Pnei Yeshua says maybe Reb Zvid thought there might be a difference whether you set the fire deliberately or whether the fire spread on its own. Either way, you chayev, but you could argue that maybe those are considered two different ovus mezikin. The Gemara still doesn't like that, though, because the fact is they have the exact same dinim, regardless whether you set the fire or whether it broke out on its own. Either way, you chayev for the results of it. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't say that. V'chitema parushi kamafadish. So you could argue maybe the Mishnah is clarifying. Maybe it says mave, and it's explaining what is mave, hever is fire. The Yehochi Abba, then what do you mean Abba, Obis Nezikin of our Mishnah? Shloisha Abba, the fact is then there'd be only three, Shur, Bur, and Mave, which is also Hever. So you can't do that. V'chitema Tona Shur de Ispe Tauti. You're going to say, like we said before, that Shur maybe includes two different Nezikin in it. We said it can include Shane and Regal, for example. Fine, we said Keren we're leaving out because Keren is different because it sorts out Tam and later on becomes Mord. So fine, you would say that maybe when the Mishnah says Shur, Bur, and Mave, and Mave, that includes four of us Nezikin, because Shur includes two, and then you have Bur as a third, and Mave, which is also Hever, is the fourth, and you could make it work that way. No, because still, Yehochi Abba, What about the Mishnah continues? Loi zeh v'zeh sheyesh ben ruach chayim. The Mishnah says shur and maveh, which are both living creatures, are not like bird, which is not. It's not like esh, which is not. So what do you mean? Esh ma'ich ruach chayim isbe. Fire is not alive. And the fact is, the Mishnah says neither of them, all of the ones above, shur and bur and mave, are not like fire, because fire, we said in here, it's koyach ha'ma'urabu. You need wind in order to spread it. If you're going to say that mave is fire, then you can't say fire is not like fire. So therefore, we can't say that mave refers to fire, and we can't say it refers to water, again, because the wording in the pasuk implies that the word tiva is talking about the fire. So therefore, of necessity, that pasuk is not relevant to defining avos nezikin. We're left with Rav and Shmuel's explanations of mave being a person or mave being the teeth of an animal, respectively.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I have a question. What about a leak?
What about a leak of water? So it talks about that in Bava Metzia. Let's say, for example, you live on a second floor.
Yeah.
Let's say you're pouring water on your floor and it goes and leaks into your neighbor's apartment underneath. So it depends, the Gemara says. If that water is dripping directly down, the moment you pour it, it's dripping down, then that's called chitzav. That's considered a tolda of esh, in the sense that you're causing a damage here and it's spreading directly there. On the other hand, if it's that it gets absorbed into the floor and only eventually later on it leaks, then that's not considered. That's more of a groma. That's more of an indirect cause. You're not actually chayev for it. But yeah, as far as other cases of leaks, sometimes a leak will be considered a tolda of H, because it'll be considered similar to fire in that it spreads from one place to another. Sometimes, as Tosfos said, you could have the example where you open up, let's say, a gate of a dam, and the water comes pouring out directly and floods somebody's things. That would be considered koichoi. That would be part of a person causing damage. So you have different possibilities like that.
Okay.
Fine. Now that we've gone through the definition of the four avos nezikin in our Mishnah, so now the Gemara is going to bring a couple of braises that list more avos nezikin. Our Mishnah had said arba avos nezikin. Now we're going to bring braises that say that there are more avos nezikin than that.
But they're all avos.
We're going to say so. Tony Rav or Rebbe, Tony Rav Oshia or Reb Oshia, shloisha also avos nezikin. There are actually 13 avos nezikin. You have shomechinam v'ashoyel noisesachar v'asoicher, the four kinds of shomrim. We're listing them in the order. Tosfos points out, usually we list shomechinam, shomesachar, soicher, and shoyel. Here we're listing them like as contrasts. A shomechinam is potter for almost everything. A shoyel is chayev for almost everything. So therefore we put them one after the other for the contrast. And noisesachar and soicher have very similar dinim. All of them are considered a type of mazik in the sense that any of them, if they don't watch the thing properly and they cause it to be damaged, then they're chayav to pay. So therefore, Rav Oshia can call them an av nezikin, each one an av nezikin of their own. Then you have nezik tzav ripui shevus uboshes. Then you have the five kinds of payments that a person may have to pay if he injured somebody else. We're going to talk about them extensively later on in the Masechta. Nezek is the actual fact that now the person is worth less as an employee. If you were to sell him as a slave with missing a hand, let's say, he's now worth less. That's Nezek. Tsar is the pain that was involved. Ripoy is the doctor's bills. Shevis is the fact that he had to take off time from work. Boshus is the embarrassment. And you have, by the way, each one of those can be individually. We're going to talk. Sometimes you have a person that's chayav to pay all five of them. Sometimes only four. Sometimes only three. Sometimes even only one. And you can have any one of them can be without any of the other ones. Therefore, each one can be considered an av of its own. So therefore, you have so far the four shomrim, the five types of payments, va'avod masnisin, and the four of our Mishnah. So that makes 13. So hotleisa. So that adds up to 13. Tosfos points out when you get down to it, a soicher, you have a machlokas in a few places in Shas, whether a soicher has the din in terms of what he's liable for with the thing that he rented, whether he's like a shemachinam or like a shemasacher. Either way, then his dinim are basically like one of the other ones. So it comes out, even though you have 13 avos nezikin, they have 12 different dinim. You don't really have 13 separate different sets of dinim. You have 12. You have 13 types of ways in which damage can be done. Well, the question is, Vatani didan my time of Tony Hani. So why doesn't the Tana of our Mishnah list any of the ones that Rav Oshia taught? So b'shleim al Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who says that Mavav, our Mishnah, refers to Shane, and according to him, Adam is not mentioned at all in our Mishnah. Fine, you could say Beniske Momen Kamaydi, Beniske Gofer Le Kamaydi. Our Mishnah wants to focus only on the Nezakin that are caused by a person's possessions, not by him himself. The four Shomrim and the five kinds of payments for injuries are all part of Adam. So according to Shmuel, those don't belong in our Mishnah because he says that Adam is not being included in our Mishnah at all. We're only mentioning it later in the parashah. El Rav, but according to Rav, who says that Mava includes a person, listening, then according to him, our Mishnah should mention them. So Rav says, fine, Tana Adam, b'chol milah de Adam. Fine, because our Mishnah says Mava, which according to Rav means Adam, so that includes all the various kinds of damages that can be caused by a person. Well, then that includes all the ones that we said so far. Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, Boshes are all caused when one person injures another. Shem, Chinam, Shoyal, etc. are all a person borrowed or rented or whatever, something, and then it's chayiv to pay. So therefore, so Rav says, doesn't have to list them out separately because everybody said Adam. Okay, the question is, what of Oshia Nami Hatana Le Adam? So according to Rav Oshia, wouldn't we say, according to Rav, who says that Mava means a person, according to him, then Rav Oshia's Braisa already includes Adam, because he says that they have the four of our Mishnah, one of which is Mava. So according to Rav's understanding of Rav Oshia, you already have Adam in Rav Oshia's Braisa, so why would he be listing out separately? The answer is, Trey Gavni Adam, because you could say, there's two kinds of damage caused by a person. Tona Odom da Azik Odom, but Tona Odom da Azik Shur. You can have the case where a person damages somebody else, versus we have where he damages another person. In other words, Rav can say Mava of our Mishnah. When we say that Mava is the Odom, he means when a person damages somebody else's property. Now, for example, the same way as we have with Bur, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that Bur does not apply to Kalim. If somebody else's Kalim fell into your Bur, you're Potter. So the same way, then an Adam, then you could be talking about that the person caused damage to somebody else's mama, to somebody else's Shur, then we're saying he's Chayim. So not necessarily though, with the word Mavim, meaning Adam, referred to where he damages somebody else. For that, you need Rav Oshia's listing out Nezek, Tzar, and so forth, which is where one person damages and injures another. So you have two different kinds. Well, the question is, Yachi Shur Nami listening today, Gavni Shur. By that logic, you should say there are two kinds of shur, listening shur to Azik shur, but listening shur to Azik Adam. Because after all, you can also have a shur can injure another shur, or a shur can injure a person, and those have different dinim. So according to Rav, why wouldn't it list those separately? And the answer is, hi mai, what kind of a comparison is that? Bishlema Adam to Azik shur nezikud mashalim. When a person injures a shur, he's paying only nezik. Adam to Azik Adam mashalim abad running. And if a person injures another person, he's paying not only nezik, he might be paying any of the other four things as well, depending on the nature of the nezik. So it's logical to distinguish between the two different types of Adam because there are different amounts of payments. On the other hand, El Ashur, Mali Shur to Azik Shur, Mali Shur to Azik Adam, when it comes to a Shur though, what's the difference? Whether a Shur injures another Shur or whether a Shur injures a person, either way, nezik udam mashalim, he's only paying nezik, because we said before on Amud Aleph that when a shur injures a person, the owner of the shur is not paying tsar or ripu or any of the others. So, if a shur injures a person, the owner of the shur is only paying nezik. He doesn't pay tsar, he doesn't pay ripu, etc. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to explain that those concepts only apply when a person injures. So therefore, you're arguing that the Mishnah should have mentioned two kinds of shur. No, because there's no difference in halacha between them. Either way, you have the same kinds of payments. You only have nezik. On the other hand, when a person causes nezik, there's a big difference whether he caused nezik to somebody's property versus to the person himself, how many kinds of damage is he paying? One versus five. Therefore, Rav would say there's a reason to single them out separately. Okay, the question is, the four shomrim are all a case where a person damaged somebody else's property, because that's what we're talking about. Somebody else was mafkid his property by him, his shur or whatever, or he rented him his shur, or he lent him his shur or whatever, and it causes damage, and v'katani, and we're listing them. So according to Rav, why would it need to do that? If we're saying that there's no difference in halacha between a person damaging If we're saying that we want to single out, we want to distinguish between a person damaging a person and a person damaging property, fine. So then in that case, so you have Mavev or Mishnah would be where a person damages somebody else's property. Odom would mean, then you have Nezek Tzar, Ripu Shevis, and Boshes would be where a person damages another person. So what would be the four Shomerim? Either way, you have them covered already. A Shomer is damaging somebody else's property. And the answer is, v'katani, and yet the Braisa says it, and the answer is Tani Hazeka to be a dying, v'katani Hazeka to be Mela. Because you could say there's a difference between something where a person was Mazik, where a person was directly Mazik, he took his hands and was Mazik something, versus where the Hezek comes on its own, meaning, in other words, what is it with the Shomerim? We're not saying when the Shomer actually damaged the object, we're talking about he was careless and it got lost or stolen or damaged or what have you. So that wasn't that he actually caused the Hezek directly, that was an indirect Hezek. And nevertheless, he's chayev. So according to Rav, in other words, you would say there are three categories. You can have where a person injures another person. That would be, so you could have where a person directly injures somebody else's shur or other property. That would be mavev or mishnah, which is also included in Oshia's list. Then the mishnah stops there. The mishnah doesn't go and delineate out more detail nezakim of a person. It just says mavev, which includes a person, including all the various kinds of hezek that a person can do. Reb Oshia then is going to be delineating out two. Within that, you have two other kinds of damage that a person might do. A person might injure somebody else, where then he's chayev in five things. And you might have where a person doesn't directly injure somebody else's property, but he indirectly causes it by being careless as a shomer. Namely, that would be the shomer chinam and shoyol and so forth. So therefore, so according to Rav, it would work out well. And you could say that's what, so the Mishnah only mentions mavez or odim, including all of them generically under one heading. And Reb Oshia is spelling them out as you have three different groups. Okay, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Best Hashem, Reb Chiya is going to bring a brisa that there are 24 of us nezikin. So now we're going to have to deal with why our Mishnah doesn't mention 20 of them, and why Reb Oshia doesn't mention 11 of them. And we're going to get into that discussion, and then we'll continue from there. Best Hashem. Yeah.